I totally believe she'll do a wonderful job. And, you know, that is so true. Chi Alpha reaches, when you reach someone, especially in the international community, for Christ, and they go back and take it to their country, you truly are reaching a nation. And you don't need a passport. All you need is $5 for a sandwich, right? And that's it. And so anyway, I'm really excited about Chi Alpha Ministry. I've been a part of their ministry for a long time and back home. And I believe in it. That's why I really, my heart kind of connected with hers while she was telling me her testimony. And so if God is speaking to you to help support her, please go back there and see her and tell her that you're willing to support her in whatever way the Lord lays it on your heart, okay? All right, if you would with me, stand up with me today. And I want us to read the word together as we stand. If you would turn with me to James chapter 5, we're going to start with verse 13, and we're going to read through the end. So let's read together. Is any one of you in trouble? He should pray. Is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise. Is any one of you sick? He should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. I speak that over Luke right now in Jesus' name. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Elisha was a man just like us. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again, he prayed, and the heavens gave forth rain, and the earth produced its crops. My brothers, if one of you should wander from the truth and someone should bring him back, remember this: whoever turns a sinner from the error of his way will save him from death and cover over a multitude of sins. Father, I come before you today, and I thank you for your word. I thank you that it gives life to us. I thank you, Father, that it instructs us, it chafes us, it corrects us, it brings into light our confusion, and it brings to light the Savior of the world. And I thank you so much, Father, for the privilege and the high honor to speak and to preach your word today. God, may your anointing rest upon my lips and upon my heart as I give it to your people. And Lord, may you anoint each and every ear, each and every heart today to receive your word joyfully. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for your presence here in this place today. And may you continue to speak to our hearts as the word is being taught. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You guys may be seated. Before I get into this next Sunday, this is our last message in the book of James. And next Sunday, I'm starting a brand new series all about the family. We're going to be talking about marriage relationships. We're going to be talking about kids and a whole nine yards. So I've already got the message all ready to go. Just got to type it out. And I'm really, really excited about it. So let me encourage you to do this. How many of you guys, since you have been here, you have really had God impact your life since you've been at New Freedom Church? Raise your hand. You've had God speak to your life, and God has really spoken to you. This is what I want you to do. Whenever we are impacted by something, we have a habit of doing what? Sharing it, right? I want to encourage you to do this. If you know people that are going through marital issues, or if you know a family that could benefit from the series that I'm about to go through this coming Sunday, encourage and invite somebody to come with you next Sunday, all right? Also, we're going to be having Ron and Amy LaFave is going to be Skyping with us next Sunday, so they're going to be telling us what's been going on and where they're at, so in Vietnam. But next Sunday, I just encourage you to invite somebody with you. Sarah, are there invite cards out there? Are they all gone? Okay. Well, instead of using those invite cards, use your mouth, all right? Say, hey, listen, I want to invite you to our church. Pastor's doing a new series on the family. And trust me, it is really, really good. I struggled with wanting to preach it today instead of what I'm preaching today, but I'm really excited about it. So invite some folks out to it this coming Sunday, all right? So James is wrapping up his letter to the church. We know that throughout the months that we've been in James, James is the brother of Jesus. He's got a lot of street cred, all right? He grew up with the Savior of the world. I mean, how many of us today can say, I grew up with the Savior of the world, right? Brothers, you know, I've got two boys, and I know how brothers are around the house. I refuse to buy new furniture. I'm refusing that. So, you know, they get each other in headlocks. They push each other. They get tired of each other. And I can imagine James has the scoop on Jesus, right? He's got the skinny on Jesus growing up. And so James is writing this book, the brother of Jesus, and he is instructing us on how to live, on how to behave, on how to follow Christ. And the last thing that he has to tell the church is on the subject of prayer. James throughout this book has had a great deal to say about the tongue, right? And this chapter is no different. He mentions some of the lowest forms for the use of our tongue, which is complaining, swearing, moaning, bickering, and so forth, backbiting, and so forth. You know, we think complaining is not that big of a deal, but complaining affects your day. It affects your mood. It affects other people's mood. Complaining sways other people. Amen? How we talk, how we present ourselves, the tone in which we say, the way we talk about our boss, the way we talk about our wives, the way we talk about our kids. Kids, the way you talk about your brothers and sisters at school. The way we complain is some of the lowest forms of the use of our tongue. But he also uses some of the highest uses of the tongue as well, which is proclaiming God's word, which is praying and praising God. Prayer is certainly a high and holy privilege that you and I are privileged to do. Do you have any idea how hard it is to have an audience with the President of the United States? How many of you guys ever seen the movie Lincoln? Just a few nerds. Me too. I love it. I love history, but I'm a history buff. I love it. I've watched Lincoln probably 10 times. I really like that movie. It's about the life of Abraham Lincoln. Probably it's the best movie I've ever seen by this guy. I mean, you're convinced that's who it is while you're watching this movie. He won an Oscar for it. I mean, he's really good. So one of the things I thought was so interesting in this movie is back then, outside the Oval Office, there's a line of regular citizens that are waiting to speak to the president. Can you imagine that? I mean, now the White House is fortified, right? And you and I can't call up and say, I need to talk to the prez. We can't do it. I got a beef with what he said in his news conference. I want to talk to him today, all right? None of us can do that. President Obama and all presidents are almost out of touch with the common folks because all they do is get to glad hand sometimes. And so here in this movie, Abraham Lincoln is, you know, he goes into his office and he has his staff talking and vetting through the conversations in the line out in the hallway. And this one guy came in, and he's just a common guy that was owed some land, and during the Civil War, it was taken away, and he brought in a letter saying that, hey, my pap gave me this when I was, you know, 15 years old, and now the rebs came in and took it away from me, and here's a letter saying that it's, you know, that it's mine. Would you look over it? Lincoln grabbed it, and he said, I'll look it over, and I'll give you an answer in the morning and tell you what the law says. I mean, that's the way it was back then, but now it's impossible to get in contact with the President of the United States. Now, granted, President Obama's busy all the time, right? All presidents are. But here we see the opportunity and the privilege to come before the King of Kings, not in the hallway outside of the Oval Office, but in the very throne room of heaven. You and I are able to do that when we pray. See, we don't realize the importance and privilege and power we have in prayer. That whenever we come together and we call upon the name of Jesus, He is there. Now, how He accomplishes this, I have no idea. But all I know is that He is there. His presence is there. Guys, when we stood up today and Dana asked everyone to stand up and sing, we had an audience with the Father. His ear was attentive to your praise. His ear is attentive to your worship. His ear is attentive to your praying. When we pray, He listens. He doesn't just log them up and read them later. When we say, Father, His ear leans toward us. When we pray, prayer is a powerful, powerful thing. Prayer is our lifeline. Prayer is the vehicle that we use in order to get the audience of the Father to enact the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Now, seven times in this section, James mentions prayer. The mature Christian is prayerful in troubles of life. For example, instead of constantly complaining about our situation, we bring it before God. He is the only one who can do anything about it. The Bible says in James, it says here in verse 13, is any one of you in trouble? He should pray. Now, James is not saying, hey, if you've tried everything else, this is your last ditch effort, I want you to try prayer. Just try praying. I know you're desperate. I know you tried everything else. No, James is like, listen, if you're in trouble, pray. Start there first. Don't start in the realm of complaining and bickering and arguing. Nobody wants to hear that anyway, do they? Nobody wants to hear complaining. Nobody wants to hear about how bad, you know, your 10 years have been, you know? What we need to do, instead of complaining, is bring that thing before the Lord right then. Because He's the only one that can do anything about it, right? When we come before Him, instead of looking at complaining first, instead of running to disbelief first, instead of running for counsel all over the place, running to this guy that happened, God, do you have a word for me today? Do you have a word for me today? Will you have a word for me today? Instead of calling 10 people and saying, would you pray? How about you pray first? How about you get the mind of the Lord first? And then after that, if it still isn't clear to you, call out upon one of your brothers and sisters in Christ and say, listen, I've been praying over this situation and I'm asking for a little bit more clarity. Would you agree with me? Because the Bible says where two or three are gathered in my name. Where is He? He's in the midst. He's there with us. An effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. It accomplishes much. I love that. I love that scripture in James 5:16. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man. What does that mean? That means that when we come before the Lord, we're not monotone about it. We're not just going over old prayers that we prayed in the past, that we're not mindlessly chattering before God, but we're coming before Him with our emotion. How many of you guys ever come before God angry? It's all right. I won't raise my hand. Or you've come before the Lord and you've been hurt. Or you're in desperation mode. God accepts us right where we are. Not where we ought to be, right where we are. He's very masterful about cleaning up our mess, right? He's very masterful about getting in and plowing up that ground in our life that has been barren for so long. Now, in this section, James gives us four situations in which God answers prayer, or three, I'm sorry. Number one, the situation where God answers prayer is in suffering. Look at verse 13. Again, is any one of you in trouble? He should pray. The word trouble means suffering in difficult circumstances. What should we do when we find ourselves in difficult circumstances. We cannot afford to waste time complaining and saying everyone else has it better than me, or even worse, blame God for everything. There was a wife who had been after her husband to come to church with her for so long. Finally, one day he got up. He's like, okay, fine, I'm going. I'll go. So got the kids in the car, wife's in the car, he's in the car driving, they go to church. After church, he's complaining. He's saying, my goodness, that guy, he was long-winded. I mean, it went forever. I mean, they didn't start on time, the music. I mean, my goodness, how many songs are they really going to sing, you know? And money, the guy talked about money. I timed it. It was 5 minutes he talked about money. And it was too loud. Nobody shook my hand. And one of his kids interrupted, and he went, well, you know, Dad, he said, I saw you put a dollar in the bucket. And he said for a dollar, that was really good entertainment. So in other words, he's telling his dad, listen, stop complaining. You only paid a buck for the show, right? And the point is that we complain so much that we can't see the good and what God's trying to do in our life. And that's so very true. That in our complaining and in our suffering, and listen, Jesus never told us that when we accept Him as Savior, that everything in your life is going to be okay. That everything that you touch is going to turn to gold, that nothing's going to, you know, it's never going to rain on your head at all. The Bible says that it rains on the just and the unjust. Jesus said, you will have trouble in this life. Jesus said those things. So when we come before Him, realize that even though when trouble comes, He is there for us. Amen? He is our ace in the hole when we're in trouble, right? So we should pray and ask God for wisdom, that we need to understand the situation and use it to His glory. If you have an analytical mind in here, use it. Because the sooner we know the why and how, we can pray more purposefully. The Bible says we shouldn't use so many words when we pray. We shouldn't just pray lofty things. When we come before the Lord, tell him what it is that's on our heart. Because He knows it already, right? And so the second thing we know that the Lord answers prayer is the prayer for the sick. Today, I paused and asked everyone to stand so that we could pray over Luke and ask God to heal his body, ask the Lord to be with the family. And we know that whenever we prayed, He did that. Now, in verse 14 through 16, it says, is any one of you sick? He should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with the oil in the name of the Lord. And prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. So what is the prayer of faith? 1 John 5, 14 through 15 says this, and this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we desire of Him. The prayer of faith is a prayer offered when you know the will of God and pray according to His will. You know, when I was first called into the ministry, I didn't want to do that. I did not want to do that at all. And so I kept praying, Lord, help me to get into school so that I can go into psychology like I wanted to. And knowing that that's not what God wanted for my life, but yet I was praying my will, not His will. And whenever my will submitted to His will and said, Lord, not my will, but Your will be done, the Lord began to bring clarity and He began to bring peace into my life and order. And order. You see, whenever we offer up a prayer unto the Lord for healing, the Bible says that if any one of you are sick among you, call forth the elders of the church to lay hands on them. And we do that, we anoint them with oil. The Bible says the prayer of faith will cause them to rise up. Did you know that not only can God heal us physically, but He can also heal us mentally and emotionally? Do you know that our sin causes sickness to come into our life? Opens the doorway for sickness to come into our life? Because whenever we are in known sin, worry creeps in, regret creeps in, trying to hide it and cover it up creeps in. And before you know it, we're exhausted emotionally, and we wear ourselves out physically, and we become ill. All because we don't bring it before the Lord first. When we come before the Lord and we ask Him to heal us or to forgive us of our sin, He does it. He doesn't bring forth a long list and go, this is the reason why I'm going to withhold it. No, He comes in and with a sincere heart, if we confess our sins, the Bible says He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. And not only forgive us, but what? Cleanse us. Cleanse us of all unrighteousness. That's the goodness of God when we pray. That He hears us, that He cleanses us, and that He makes us clean. Amen? The Bible, James is also talking about confession. He talks about, if you have sinned, he will forgive you. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Now, the Bible says when we sin. So who's he talking about? He's not talking about the sinner. He's talking to the church. He goes, when you sin, that means he's saying, listen, you're alive. You're going to sin. You're going to mess up. You're going to do things, make mistakes, and so forth. So when you sin, confess your sin to the Lord. And not only that, but it says, confess your sin one to another. Now notice it says confess and not air out. Right? We don't air out our sins. We don't make it public knowledge to everyone. But we confess our sins to one to another. Notice it doesn't say everybody. Just one to another, right? And so why is James telling us to do that? Because in our head, it's worse than it really is. But when we confess it to one another, to our brother and sister, they are there to give us counsel, to give us understanding, and to pray for us. And really, the confession is for you and not for them. Because once we get it out, it's like all these toxins coming out of our life. And our spirit begins to heal again, all through confession. Now, I had a young lady in my youth group years ago. I taught her in school. She was in my youth group. Her dad's still a good friend of mine. And she started dating a young man, and she and this young man did things they shouldn't have done, and she became pregnant. And she came to her dad, and her dad was completely devastated, heartbroken. And he just couldn't deal with it by himself, so he called me, asked if he could meet with me, and I said, sure. And he told me, and I began to cry myself because I loved this young lady. I had, known her from, way before adolescence all the way to where she was right now. I had played a large role in bringing her up myself. And he told me that she had come and confessed to him and repented to both, her mom and dad, and before the Lord. And he told me, he said, Pastor Jimmy, she wants to come before the church and repent before the church. I was like, whoa, that's a big step. And I said, are you sure? And he said, yeah, she really... I said, are you making her do this? He said, it was her idea. I don't want her to do it, but, you know, I want to deal with this privately, but I want... She's insistent that she do this. So I said, okay. So on a Sunday morning, she came up with her dad and our pastor. And our pastor said, Sarah would like to address the church for a few minutes. And Sarah said, with her head down, she said, listen, I want to make it known that I sin before God, and I sin against my family, and I sin against my own body. And the result was that I'm pregnant. And it's my mistake, and I own it. And I want to ask my home church to forgive me, but also to come alongside of me and help me through this confusing time in my life. And as soon as she said that, she started crying and broke down. And one by one, everybody stood up and went around to where Sarah was and hugged her, told her that they loved her and that they forgive her and that they are with her. And if she needed anything, that they would be there for her. And they threw her the biggest baby shower you could ever imagine. And they loved on her. And you know what that did? She could have suffered in the darkness. She could have wore baggy clothes. She could have tried to hide her sin, but instead she confessed that sin so that not only the Lord would forgive her and her family would forgive her, but that her church could come alongside of her and support her in her time of need. You see, guys, as believers, we turn our backs on each other so many times because you sinned. You should be ashamed. And we point the finger. And yet what James is trying to tell us today is that we are to confess our faults one to another. Now, I'm not saying just go to anybody and confess your faults, but go to a strong brother and sister in the Lord and say, listen, I need counsel. I need to get this out of me so that I can get right with the Lord again. I need to get this out of my spirit. And what that confession does is it brings you in right relationship with the Lord again. And it causes healing to flood into your spirit. Amen? Lastly, thirdly, prayer that God answers are prayers for the nations. Look with me at verse 17. Verse 17 and 18. Elijah was a man just like us. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. My brothers, if one of you should wander from the truth, and someone should bring him back, remember this, whoever turns a sinner from the error of his way will save him from death and cover over a multitude of sins. James cites Elijah here as an example of a righteous man whose prayers released power. James 5:16 again, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Now the background on the verse is found in 1 Kings 17 and 18. And it's King Ahab and his wife Jezebel had led Israel away from the Lord and into the worship of Baal. God punished the nation by holding back the rain for 3.5 years. Can you imagine what 3.5 years of no rain would do to a land? Just imagine. Israel was going through a devastating time where there were no crops, where there was famine in the land, sickness was everywhere. Their cattle, horses, all of their livestock were dying by the thousands because God had shut up the rain because of Israel's betrayal. But Elijah challenged the priest of Baal on Mount Carmel. Over and over and over, the prophets of Baal prayed, and God, their God did not hear them. But Elijah stood up, and he prayed over, and he called upon the name of the Lord. The Bible says he sent fire from heaven to consume the sacrifice, to bring healing to the land once again. Our job as believers, and why I'm so passionate about missions, is that when we pray for our missionaries, They are normal people just like everybody else. That's what James said. He made a point to mention it, that Elijah is just an ordinary guy. He was a prophet, but he was just like us. I'm a pastor, but I'm just like you. I'm not a mythical creature, right? I make mistakes. I don't always brush my hair. I don't know, you know, I make mistakes just like all of you. And James was saying Elijah was just like us. And he prayed, and God did these mighty works through him. Not because that he was born of royalty, but because he was willing to do the will of God. And you and I need to understand that when we are praying for our missionaries, when we pray for our home missions, God hears your prayers and he enacts those prayers all over the world because you pray. And the good thing is about it, kids, is that you can pray just as you are and your prayers equal just as much as mine. That when you pray as a child, matter of fact, I love it when kids pray over me. Love it. You know why? Because when kids pray, they believe it's going to happen. And they're really confused as to why it didn't. But they believe, and I pray a lot. I have Joshua come and lay hands on me sometimes whenever I'm sick or whatever, because I love the faith of children. Love it. Because they believe that God is going to do what they've asked him to do. Amen? Your prayers today, church, your prayers today are powerful. If you have sin in your life today, pray in order that God's hand can be upon your life again, that his blessing and his purpose can be on your life again. Amen? Let's all stand up this morning. Can I have all the kids' church kids, can I have y'all come up here? Just come on up. Come on up. There we go. All right. Guys, I truly believe that what's being taught back there is going to prepare them for being in here. Amen? And that they are going to be the church. And that when they pray, God hears their prayers. Because they believe in faith. James puts a huge premium on praying. And from top to bottom, we need to learn to pray. I've heard some people say, I've never prayed out loud before. And my response to that is, what are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? If that's a hurdle in your life, pray out loud. Cause yourself, make yourself pray and say, Lord, I'm coming to you with trembling lips. I'm mumbling half my words, but I want to pray. And so I'm making myself do this. And so what I want to do today is I want us to pray over our kids and pray over their life and their heart, pray over that they would have a soft and tender heart toward the Lord. And I tell you what, moms and dads, why don't you come on up and gather around your kids. Let's do that. Matter of fact, if teenagers, you guys, teenagers, come on up as well. Moms and dads, just come around. It's all right. I don't know. Thank you. Come on up. All right. Is everybody up? Okay. All right. This is what we're going to do, okay? We're going to pray over our kids. And we're going to truly believe James 5:16, that the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. When it says man, it doesn't mean male. It means person. All of us. When we pray, what we pray, especially over our kids, matters. Right? So if you don't have kids here today, would you just stretch your hand forward and just an act of saying, I agree with you today, and we're gonna pray over the kids, okay? Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus, and I thank you so much for children. I thank you, Father, for their hearts. I thank you, Lord, that they're like sponges, that they just soak up everything that is taught to them. And Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus that as they come through these doors, that they truly know how to worship you, Father, that they're being taught by their moms and dads how to worship. They're being taught by their moms and dads how to pray. They're being taught by Elena and by me and Pastor Johnny the value of serving God with all of our hearts and to serve God unashamedly. And I pray, Father, that you would encourage them to follow you with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, that you would cause them to be young men and women of God, unashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, solid in their faith, and willing to be put to shame for your name. And so, Father, I ask that you would strengthen their hearts, that you would make their hearts pliable to you, that you would cause your word to be in their lives, in their hearts, and in their spirits, in the name of Jesus. Lord, may they hear your voice. May they respond to you. May their heart always be toward you. Lord, I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You guys give your moms and dads a big hug. They love you. Go ahead, clap. That's all right. Love you. Guys, this Sunday wraps up the study of the book of James. I hope that you were able to receive and take a lot of it and apply it to your life. This Sunday, this coming Sunday, we're going to be talking about the family. It's going to be out of this world, okay? Invite somebody to come with you. And last thing I want to share with you is over the past couple of weeks, we've been doing brat fries. And I'm about brought it out, you know what I'm saying? It's been crazy. And so we have... This past Saturday, yesterday, we raised $450-some-odd. That is a lot of brats and hamburgers, right? Just give yourselves a hand for, yeah. Thank you, moms. Thank you, moms and dads, for helping out with that. It was hot yesterday. It was hot last weekend, but it was worth it. We're trying to raise $1,000 to get there, and right now we're about $150-$200 away from that, and what that does is it basically, hopefully, what we raise we'll be able to send our kids to camp on that. All right, everybody has given, like, I think their registration fees, which are $60, and hopefully by the money that we raise through the brat sales and then. I'm going to be honest with you. Last week, we took up an offering for our kids, and the offering was $64. Now, I have to say I'm a little bit disappointed in that. And so what we're going to do today is, where's Jason at? Jason, would you go grab the bucket? And what I want to ask you to do today is if you can give any toward camp, toward these kids, it costs $200 a child to go to camp. And that's a lot of money. And I appreciate you guys giving, because what you're doing is you're sowing into the lives of kids. And so as you go out today, I'm going to have Jason just kind of standing there. Would you slip something in that bucket and just put us over the top so that we can send the kids on to camp, all right? Let's all stand up again. I'm going to pray over you and ask God to bless you this week and give you the courage to invite somebody to come this Sunday and to sit in and listen to God's design and plan for the family. The series is going to be called Extreme Family Makeover. And some of you guys have ever seen that show on Sundays that come on, Extreme Home Makeovers. It's like they build an entire, yeah. So that's what God is doing, what it wants to do in our life. But we've got to give the hammer to Him. We got to give the saw to them. We got to give the level to them and the plumb line to them. Because if we start building stuff, it's going to be out of square. It's going to look like my shed in the back of my house. I built that. And if you get up real close to it, you can see some stuff. But from far off, it looks really good. All right? See, paint covers over a multitude of sins. Amen? And so when we give God the plumb line in our marriage and our family and the way we raise our kids and the way we spend our finances and what we do with our income, I'm getting all in your stuff this coming month, all right? So it's been eating me up, so it's going to eat you up too, all right? So it's going to help you, it's going to encourage you, and hopefully at the end of it, it's going to bring a true makeover into your life, all right, into your family. All right, so let's pray, and then we'll dismiss. Lord, thank you so much for the privilege, Lord, of teaching your word today. Lord, I thank you for the worship that went forth, the giving, the testimonies. Lord, we thank you so much for what you're doing in our life, in our church, in the earth, in our city. Thank you, Lord. You are so busy. And Lord, when we call upon your name, we have an audience with you. And because of that, we rejoice. Because of that, we walk out in confidence, knowing that we have the ear to our Father. And so, Lord, we thank you and we praise you, Lord, for this week. God, give us courage and opportunity to invite our loved ones and our friends to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Guys, thank you so much for being here. Listen, shake each other's hand. All right, enjoy one another's company. You're dismissed.